We thank all of you for being here this morning. Someone said if you can find a path with no obstacles, it probably doesn't lead anywhere. The darkest hour has only 60 minutes. You know, every one of us in our lives face adversity every day. Every one of us. Adversity is a part of life. Sir Winston Churchill once said that a pessimist sees the difficulty in every opportunity, and the optimist sees an opportunity in every difficulty. Adversity. How do you deal with it? Can you really overcome it? And if so, how do you do it? Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I have learned that sometimes adversity is what you need to face in order to become successful in life. Many of us face adversity every day, and had it not been for that adversity, we would have never climbed the spiritual ladder to greater altitudes. It just would not have happened. Sometimes people think that if you're prosperous in life, then things will go well for you. But I would tell you that in reality, adversity is better than prosperity. In the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 2, a little bit lengthy reading here, but the Bible says, I said to myself, I should have fun. If you're reading in the King James Version, it reads a little bit different. But I should enjoy everything as much as I can. But I learned that this is also useless, Solomon said. It is foolish to laugh all the time. Having fun does not do any good. So I decided to fill my body with wine while I filled my mind with wisdom. And I tried this foolishness because I wanted to see if it would make me happy. I wanted to see what was good for people to do during their days in this life. Then I began doing great things. I built houses, and I planted vineyards for myself. I planted gardens, and I made parks, and I planted all kinds of fruit trees, and I made pools of water for myself, and I used them to water my growing trees. I bought men and women slaves, and there were slaves born even in my own household. I owned many great things. I had herds of cattle and flocks of sheep. I owned more things than any other person in Jerusalem did. I also gathered silver and gold for myself. I took treasures from kings and their nations, and I had men and women singing for me, and I had everything any man could possibly want. I became very rich and famous, and I was greater than anyone who lived in Jerusalem before me. My wisdom was always there to help me. And anything my eyes saw and I wanted, I got for myself. My mind was pleased with everything that I did. And this happiness was the reward of all of my hard work. But then I looked at everything I had done and the wealth that I had gained. And I decided it was all a waste of time. It was like trying to catch the wind. There was nothing to gain from anything that we do in this life. Solomon actually said, all is vanity and vexation of the spirit. You know, if you have money, you worry about people taking it away from you. And if you don't have it, you worry about getting it. And that's exactly what happened in King Solomon's life. And that's why he could write at the end of days, it is better to live in an adverse situation than it is to live with prosperity in life. Prosperity has a way of shifting our focus away from God and upon things and upon money and upon ourselves. Adversity is common to all of us. Well, when adversity strikes, some people buy crutches, but others grow wings. And you can either allow yourself to be subdued by the adversity in life, or you can allow yourself to take wings to a greater height in life. And I believe that's where God really wants us to be. Let me ask you a question this morning. How do you respond to adversity? When adversity comes your way, do you cave in? Do you stick your head in the sand? How are you handling adversity in your life? Some people do not handle it very well. We hope that it would go away. We hope that it would not exist, and that we didn't have to face tough times in life. But there are times in everyone's life when something constructive is born out of adversity. When things seem bad, that you've got to grab fate by the shoulders and shake it. Now, adversity can either be a burden or it can be a bridge. You can carry the world around on your shoulders, and there are a lot of folks that do that. They go through life, woe is me, and they're carrying that world and everything therein on their shoulders. And actually, adversity can be a burden, or it can be a bridge. It can help us to become better and to enjoy better things in life. I've never understood it sometimes, how adversity is a burden for some and a blessing for many. But in reality, it is something that we have to pick and choose. It is a choice. Now, all of you that are facing adversity in your life today, I may not know exactly what it is that's going on in your life, but chances are there is something adverse going on in your life. It may be in your family. It may be at the job. It may be with your finances. It may be with a friend. It may be with your health. Whatever it is, I'm telling you, we have to pick and choose whether we're going to allow it to become a burden for us or whether we're going to see a blessing in what God sends our way. Some people live at the corner of discouraged and hopeless. Have you ever been at that corner? Have you ever been at the corner of discouraged and hopeless, and you felt like there was no need to go on living? You felt that life had handed you a raw deal? And so you are discouraged, and perhaps maybe in your mind you have lost all hope. There are some that live like that every day. There are some who feel that they're walking a tight wire every day. They're just suspended between heaven and earth, and they're on that tight wire, and they don't know exactly when they're going to fall. They know adversity is coming. You get up in the morning and you head off to the job, and you know that you're going to face adversity that day, and you're all strung out. Maybe at work, maybe at home, maybe something that you're agonizing with in your own personal life. And sometimes people carry around a ball and chain when they get up in the morning, and they carry it all day long. All day long. Sometimes they talk about it, but spending today complaining about yesterday won't make tomorrow any better. It doesn't. Being a country music fan that I am, the Judds sang a song several years ago entitled, Love Can Build a Bridge. Did you know that adversity can become a bridge as well? It can become a bridge to a better life. Anybody that has ever gone through problems, you can either allow them to make you better or you can allow them to make you bitter. What is adversity doing for you? Have you ever looked at people and you say, well, they never have an adverse moment. They've never had to face adversity, or they would feel differently. I've had people tell me that. I'm going to tell you, folks, I face as much adversity as anyone in this audience. But I have learned to constructively work through it. I have learned to deal with it. And I have learned that adversity sometimes is one of the greatest blessings from the hand of Almighty God. Now, the judge said love can build a bridge. Adversity can. Don't you think it's time, that song says. Maybe it's time in your life for you to start allowing adversity to become a bridge to a better life. The Apostle Paul had adversity in his life, and he serves as a great example. For in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10, Paul says, "But I must not be too proud of the wonderful things," he says, "that were shown to me." So a painful problem, if you're reading in the King James Version, he calls it a thorn in the flesh, was given to me, and an angel from Satan sent to make me suffer, so that I would not think that I am better than anyone else. He said, "So I begged the Lord three times to take this problem away from me. But the Lord said, 'My grace is all that you need. Only when you are weak can everything be done completely by my power. So I will gladly boast about my weakness, then Christ's power can stay in me. Yes, I am glad,'" he says, "'that I have weaknesses if they are for Christ. For I am glad to be insulted and to have hard times. I am glad when I am persecuted,' he says, 'because I know that Christ is in me.'" Think about it. If you didn't go through adverse times, would you turn to God? Do you know that sometimes the only time that people ever turn to God or they ever get spiritually minded is when they're going through a problem? They never pray to God unless there's something going on in their life, and then they reach out to God. That's what Paul's saying. He says, and God says, "Only in your weakness can my power be seen." But the power of God does rest upon us. Now I want to share with you quickly 10 things that I really believe that adversity can do. Adversity can either be an overwhelming burden or a bridge to a deeper relationship with God. A burden or a bridge, number one. Is your life a burden or is it a bridge? We can see tough times as one or the other. Now, I don't know if you really stop to analyze what a burden really is. A burden, spiritually speaking, is a heaviness that weighs us down. We may feel weary. We may feel discouraged in our life. Without joy and peace, it has been taken away. And a bridge is, in contrast, it is a way to rise above the difficulties of life and to develop a deep, more intimate relationship with our Father who is in heaven. Well, how do I pursue intimacy with God? Two verses are the foundation of this bridge to a greater intimacy with God. One of them is found in the 103rd chapter of the book of Psalms and verse 19. David said, "The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all." Have you ever heard people coin it this way? God is still in control. He is. God's in control of what goes on in this country. He is in control of what is going on in your life. He may intensify your burden or he may lighten it. And if it is intensified, you need to realize that behind it all, God is working it for your good. The other one is Romans 8 and 28. That God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. We don't always understand why things happen, but we know as a child of God that God's going to work and bring it about for good. For all things work together for good for those who are Christians. But there's a second thing I want you to know. I want you to see the adversity as a bridge in the life of the Apostle Paul. Paul was one of the greatest examples, I think, of how adversity can build a bridge to a closer relationship with God. Paul had talked about these supernatural revelations that God had given unto him. And had those supernatural revelations not come to Paul, he would not have had the insight that he had to live that day-to-day Christian life. But his closeness to the Father came only as a result of severe personal loss and hardship. If you were to read the book of Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 through 10, you would learn that Paul was able to overcome the difficulty in his life. Contentment is possible in our lives as it was in Paul's life. When you really stop and think about his life and where he was and what all went on, Philippians 4 and verse 11, he says, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. God provides supernatural strength for our weakness. Paul's limitations allowed the Holy Spirit's power to work in his life. Did you realize that God may be allowing you to experience adversity, that the Holy Spirit may be working in your life? He said, I can do all things through Christ, who is my strength. Philippians 4 and verse 13. There's a third thing I want you to know this morning. The Lord is the source of all of our needs. When we fully rely upon God, we can count on His provision. For Paul in Philippians 4:19 says that every need that we have, not every greed, but every need that we have is met in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we can trust the Lord for His faithfulness. Paul had learned to depend on God to carry him through. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. You and I sometimes just have to weather the storms. Storms are going to rage in your life. They rage in mine. But we have to learn that we can work through the storms of life. But fifthly, the Father values your service more than He does your desires and your comfort. I've heard people say, well, if God is really out there, He ought to be comforting me. He ought to be meeting my desires. God didn't say that. God's more interested in your service than He is your satisfaction. He's more interested in your labor than in your laughter. Paul's natural inclination toward comfort was there, and God sent adversity to prepare him for greater service. He said, there was a thorn in the flesh that was given unto me, lest I be exalted above measure. And the Father values service more than He does the desires of our life and the comforts that we seek. But number six, in difficult times, God will give us strength to proclaim the truth. You know, when Paul was imprisoned, and you really think about his imprisonment, the entire Praetorian Guard who was watching over him heard the gospel preached to them, and they would have never had that opportunity had it not been for Paul's imprisonment. Philippians 1, verse 13 through 15. The more adversity that we face, the more effective our message of Jesus Christ comes to other people. So what we have to do is just keep calm and trust God. Now, I know it's hard to keep calm. I know it's hard to keep calm. But let me tell you something. God will see you through. He will. He will allow you to triumph over the difficulties of this life. There's a story once told about a farmer who owned an old mule. One day the mule fell into the farmer's well. And the farmer heard the mule praying, or whatever mules do when they fall into wells. After carefully addressing the situation, the farmer sympathized with the mule, but decided that neither the mule nor the well was worth the trouble of saving. Instead, he called his neighbors together and told them what had happened and enlisted them to come help haul dirt to bury the old mule in the well and put him out of his misery. Initially, the old mule was hysterical, but as the farmer and his neighbors continued shoveling the dirt into the well, it hit his back. A thought struck him. It dawned on him that every time a shovel load of dirt landed on his back, he could just shake it off and step up. And this he did, blow after blow. Shake it off, step up. Shake it off, step up. Shake it off, step up. He repeated this to encourage himself. No matter how painful the blows or how distressing the situation seemed, the old mule fought panic and just kept right on shaking it off and stepping up. And it wasn't long before the old mule, battered and exhausted, stepped triumphantly over the wall of that well. What seemed like it would bury him actually helped him, all because of the manner in which he dealt with his adversity. And you know what? I'm convinced that you and I ought to shake it off and step up. And when adversity comes your way, do not panic. Do not give up. But realize, even in adversity, life can be better. It is true. Number 7, we can treat everything as if it comes from God. You know, the Lord uses all that we experience, even the wrongs that are committed by others to us, for His purposes in our life. If we can embrace the circumstances that come our way as an opportunity to grow, it prevents our trials from making us resentful. Now, I know that's hard to do too, but when people do you wrong, let me tell you something. If you could just look at it like God is sending this, and there's a reason for this, I'm going to learn from this, I'm going to be stronger as a result of it. Life can be better. Listen, adversity will not be a burden, but it will be a bridge. But number 8, do you know we learn more about the Lord through trials than any other time? Suffering is often a stimuli to a greater walk and closeness with God. Troubles are often tools by which God fashions us for better things. At least that's what Henry Ward Beecher said many years ago, and I believe that. Adversity prepares us to comfort others more effectively. You know, when you've been through a problem or when you've been through adversity, I'm going to tell you something. It makes it a lot easier for you to comfort someone else. It does. At least from God's viewpoint. Suffering prepares us to minister to other people. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and following, he says, "Praise be to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Father who is full of mercy, the God of all comfort. He comforts us every time we have trouble, so that we, when we have trouble, we can comfort them with the same comfort that God gives us." Do you know Paul says in the book of 2 Corinthians 1 that Jehovah God is the God of all comfort? Think about that. He is the God of all comfort. And God wants us to reach out and comfort others. Do you know God doesn't make us He doesn't comfort us to make us comfortable. But He comforts us that we may reach out to others who need comfort. It may be in the loss of a loved one. It may be someone who's going through a medical problem. It may be someone who's having financial difficulty in their life. It may be that they're having a spiritual problem. You don't just blow it off. You're there for the purpose of comforting and helping a person back to the relationship that God wants him to have. But number 9. God has a specific purpose for allowing adversity. Now, Paul's thorn in the flesh was to keep him humble and dependent upon God. You know, when people go through this life with all the money in the world that they want, when they go through this life in a state of health, never a problem, never a headache, never a tummy ache, never a Malox moment, I'm going to tell you something. Everything is great and everything is wonderful. But when you start having problems in your life and adversity comes, you have to stop and think, well, maybe there's a reason behind all this. There is a reason. There's a reason for all things, folks. And Paul understood that, and he accepted it. And you know what? He prayed about it three times. And every time that he prayed, God would say, "My grace is sufficient." What he's saying to Paul is that I'm watching over you. I'm not going to send more than you can bear. I'm not going to let you be overcome. I'm here. I'm going to take care of you. But number 10. We are to know and experience joy in the midst of our adversity. In Philippians 4, Paul would write these words, "Rejoice in the Lord." And again, I say, rejoice. Now, Paul didn't say that because he just won the lottery. Paul didn't say that because he had just been imbibing. And he's facetiously dreaming. Paul's not saying that because everything in his life is wonderful and good. But Paul is in prison when he is writing this to the church, and he is saying, "I want you to know that you ought to rejoice. If I can rejoice in my imprisonment, you can rejoice." And he says, "I say unto you, rejoice always." And again, I will say it, rejoice. Sometimes we think that we can't handle it anymore. And when we reach that point, we have to remember that God can. We may not be able to handle it, but God can. One of these days, you're going to face it. And remember that God can. For God can handle all your problems, no matter how big you think they are. Realistically thinking, perhaps maybe even in this audience this morning, most likely you're experiencing a degree of adversity. Maybe today, maybe you came to this building facing adversity. Maybe you came looking for an answer today. Maybe the words that I have spoken to you this morning have served to help you, and I certainly hope that they have. You can try to handle that adversity using your own resources. Or you can choose to see a path to a deeper relationship with Jesus. If you're a believer, I really believe that the awesome power of the Holy Spirit is available unto you to equip you to handle the suffering that you'll have to handle in this life. The bridge of adversity can... it can help you develop an indescribable closeness with God. It can. You see, God is the author and the giver of life. He is too faithful to fail us. He is always with us, and He is always on time. Now, what He asks of us is this: that our faith be an active faith. Trusting God is no spectator sport. It isn't. People say it flippantly sometimes. "I trust God." "Oh, you trust God?" "Yeah, I trust God." "Do you? You really trust God?" 1 Chronicles 16:11 says, "Search the Lord and for His strength. And seek His face always." For Isaiah 41:10 says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. I am with you. I will lead you. I will guide you." Jesus is the bridge that enables us to cross over into heaven. John 14:6. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except through Jesus." The only way, the only hope. Why are you waiting to give up your burdens? The Bible says, "Cast your cares on Him, for He cares for you." And let adversity become a blessing. Are you focused on God and on His Son? You know, every one of us in this audience today need a close encounter with Jesus Christ. We do, with God's Son. And God points to us at times through His adversity that He brings into our life to teach us a lesson that it is hard for us to grasp and even comprehend. Sometimes He brings adversity in our life to help us desire to become a Christian. Did you know that? It's true. I can tell you in this life how many people I know that have become Christians who started focusing on things that were spiritual because they were facing adversity. And had that adversity not come into their life, they would have never yielded themselves to honor God. It is true. You want to become a Christian? If you're here in this audience and you really want to become a Christian, this morning, you can. And you may say, how? How do I become a Christian? I hear the world. I hear what the world says. They say that all you have to do is fall down and accept Jesus into your life. And, you know, if you're watching television, just reach out and put your hand on the hand of the preacher. And for some miraculous way, God blesses you and forgives your sins. And you've become a Christian. And all that's facetious. It's a big dream. Because someday, in reality, when you stand before God in judgment, you'll understand it was not a dream. It was a nightmare. But you can become a Christian by hearing the Word of God. For Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of the Lord. And not just hearing it. You know, it doesn't do you any good to hear a sermon and walk out and go your merry way and forget everything that was said and what God has to say to you. There must be a transformation that takes place in your life. And that's because you believe it. You not only hear it, but you believe it. For John 8:24, Jesus said you'll go to hell if you don't believe it. You can't please God without believing it. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. And if you really believe it, you'll want to change your life through a penitent attitude. Nobody would have to beg and plead and prod and twist your arm to become a Christian. When you hear the Word of God and you really believe it, you'd want to be penitent over your sin. You'd want to make a change, whatever it happens to be. To be brought in a relationship with God, even if it includes New Testament baptism, and it does. That's why a person is baptized. That his sin might be remitted and forgiven. And you know what happens when you're baptized? You take all those burdens to the cross. And you allow God to start working in your life, and the adversity that once was a burden had now become a blessing. And you can become a Christian. Just a Christian. That's all God asks us to be, isn't it? A Christian. Well, let me ask you one more question this morning. Will you let Him be your bridge to a better life and obey His gospel this morning by being baptized for the remission of your sins or rededicating your life to Christ? You can carry that burden around with you. It's your choice. Or you can lay it at the foot of the cross this morning. I see so many people who struggle through this life, and they carry around burden after burden. You know what? I'm not interested in carrying those burdens around. Jesus knew we wouldn't be. Remember that old song we sing, burdens are lifted at Calvary? Calvary? They are. They still are. And Christ is ready to lift yours while we stand and while we sing.